Welcome to the Daniel Town Planning Commission meeting. This is Wednesday, May 21st, 2025, 7 p.m. with the Wasatch County Services Building, Conference Room B. Item number one on the agenda is public comment for those that are not on the agenda. If anyone would like to come up and comment. Okay. If you have no comment, then we'll move to agenda item number two. If they have a motion to open the public hearing.
I'll make the motion that we open the public hearing.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Go ahead.
I'll second.
Okay, call for vote.
McGinn, yes.
Bangeter, yes.
Horner, yes.
Wade, yes. Okay, so this is for an accessory structure remodel to an existing building. Do you have anyone that would like to comment on that, or would you like to just let everyone know what you're doing?
Sure. I'm in escrow to buy Grace Chubb's house, which is right next to ours. And I wanted to get the ball going a little further, closing in 2 weeks, I think. And she has a white building on there now, and I'm trying to make it long enough to fit my motorhome in there, so we're basically going to make it about 30 foot longer, and then enclose the two overhang sides that are on it right now, and then extend those down the same way. And then we're going to re-side it.
Does that have any comments?
So, Chip, are you going to lengthen it or widen it?
Lengthen it. It's going towards the house. Towards the house. I wanted to go the other way, but there's another lot of square size to do. I had to go the other way.
Does the change maintain all of the setback requirements?
We haven't reviewed those yet. What this hearing tonight is for is the conditional use, because it's over 1,500. Anything over 1,500 feet requires a conditional use. So we're getting a conditional use in place, and then it will go through the plan check.
Okay.
And those items will
look correct. The current building, I think, is 25 or 30 feet from the front property line, and it's going back towards the house. And then it's probably 150 or 200 feet each direction the other way.
Okay. Do we have any other comments from the public? Okay, if not, I have a motion to close the public hearing.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, I thought you saw my eye contact.
No, I wasn't. You were going to close it, and then you asked one more time. Scott Bassett, direct neighbor. I was a planning commenting, but existing structure, I know whatever he's going to do is going to look great, and no opposition to it. So just want to support it.
Thanks. Yeah. Anything else? Anyone else? Dave, can I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make the motion we close the public hearing.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, call for the vote.
McGinn, yes.
Bangeter, yes.
Horner, yes.
We're closing the public hearing, so.
Okay. Are you both staying?
No, you can go ahead and vote.
Daniel, yes.
Okay. Motion carries. Planning have any other discussion on this?
No.
Okay. We didn't have this on the agenda to vote on this tonight, but I think we're okay to do that, are we not?
Yeah, it's a conditional use.
Yeah.
Public hearing.
So. Anyone like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the conditional use permit for the accessory structure on the Holvorty Grace Chubb barn accessory building remodel.
I'll second that.
Okay.
McGinn, yes.
Bangeter, yes.
Warner, yes.
Taylor, yes. Motion carries. Okay, we'll move to item number 3, which is a public hearing for Brian Myers, application for rezone of the Victor Hansen property, two parcels. So if I have a motion to open the public hearing.
So motioned.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, call for the vote.
McGinn, yes.
Bangeter, yes.
Warner, yes.
Taylor, yes. Okay. Do we have anyone here from the public that would like to speak to this?
Lot 4490 or 89.
I'm the property owner.
Okay.
I stole your paper. Sorry. So last hearing, I got a note from Victor saying I was doing it in foreign in the afternoon. But I've now since purchased the property, so it's no longer for Victor. So it's on my behalf. But yeah, we're just looking to switch it over to it. There's commercial on both sides there, from what I understand. And so we're looking to rezone.
Okay. Do we have any questions or?
Everything surrounding it is indeed commercial?
Out on the highway.
The southern lot's not.
I didn't bring my zoning map to me.
What you need?
I just wanted to see where it is.
Does that help? No?
I need to know if these three are commercial.
So what around it is and isn't commercial? Southern tip is Little Sweden, it's not, right?
It is not, right.
What about east-west?
So 500 feet out on the highway side would be commercial. And then, of course, we have that line that we adopted from the county. So the back half of that would be, everything beyond 500 feet would be RA5.
So
and
to
where's
the
how far back is the 330 lot? 4489.
You have a smaller map, I think, in
I
your.
I have this one.
Yeah. So the where them touch Little Sweden.
Back
there's,
here.
There's lots right.
These two lots.
Yeah.
Right.
So he owns a property that's going to go right behind those two lots.
Right. Right.
What are about those two lots commercial, Eric? Oh,
no.
Or you never mind. Back out.
Okay.
Right here. This is the parcel.
This one.
Yeah, are you?
It's more about east and west.
Yeah.
What about east and west?
Yeah.
And I think
this is but it meets here. All right, you got two parcels.
What about east and west side?
East and west would be the same scenario, except for next door, we have the Trinnell property.
Which one's the Trinnell?
12 or 2012? Or is it the 1129?
Let me get to that map you're looking at.
I don't believe the property actually touches Trinnell. There's a little. Well, we're just looking to see where we're at on there.
Yeah, it's halfway. Yeah, I think you actually touched the Davis part, is that correct?
Yeah, so Victor actually owns that other piece. Yeah, it's these two. And then this is owned by Victor Hansen here. This is Nephi Trinell.
Right. Is Victor's commercial?
No, this is still, I think, just... Those are both residentials. And then this is, he's building the storage units on those.
What about this?
This has storage units. This is just the Davis, and this has storage units. And that's just...
So then these are commercials.
These are all commercials. But yeah, these are two residential. Victor Hansen owns this one.
Yeah, this is Davis, this is Trinell.
Yeah, this one is
commercial. These are residential.
Storage units or something.
Yeah, I think that one is...
No.
So this whole triangle is commercial now, is what you're saying?
No, because this one, these two are residential.
Yeah, I don't understand. And I think Justin on this one too, I think he's got a bunch of equipment on this one.
His question was, that's what it goes. The question is,
is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have anyone from the public that would like to comment on this? Not, I call for motion to close the public hearing.
So motioned.
Second.
Call for the vote.
McGinn, yes.
Spangler, yes.
Horner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Same motion carries. Eric, if planning has any comments on this?
So as we're reviewing this, staff can't decide when these two lots were split off of the main parcel.
Which two?
The front two. So 4490 and 4488. Because on the county records, it shows that that was one parcel. And so I can't see where that was split off. So we'll need the applicant to prove that that was split off legally.
Okay. How many acres is 4489?
A little. 4489.
It's 330 on that map.
You know what that is, Brian?
They're not calling
out. No,
they're
going to. Do you know how many acres this middle parcel is?
44.63.
Like 2.63, yeah. This one is.
Yeah. 0.97, and the 89 is 2.63.
So these are tiny.
And you're saying in the 4490 and 4488, there's not a deed for those and when those were subdivided off?
Correct. So the burden of proof will be upon the applicant to make sure to convince you.
Find those lots
that was legally subdivided.
Okay.
And when that was done. There's nothing at the courthouse. This is the numbers were done for tax purposes. So there's nothing in the survey that I can see that took place.
You taking notes on that?
I was sticking on for agenda item number 8.
Yeah. What's that one?
Well, if it wasn't legally subdivided, the agenda I've made is never going to help anybody. Right?
Yes.
But anyway. Okay, I accept a motion to continue this.
I'll make the motion that we continue the public hearing.
No.
No. Continue. We want to continue this item.
All right.
To the next meeting. Because we can't do anything with it until we know whether it's subject.
I'll motion to continue the Brian Myers application discussion.
Second.
Any call for the vote?
Again, yes.
Bangator, yes.
Horner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, let's move to item four, which is the Geneva Rock conditional use permit. Would the applicant like to say anything or?
Bill King, representing Geneva Rock. Good evening, commissioners, chairperson. This is a project we've been working on almost 6 months now with the town of Daniel. And as of now, each time the town of Daniel has asked something, we've promptly replied and we've provided information or new studies to comply with everything that the town of Daniel has requested. The one thing I do want to talk about is we've gone through two different application processes. One was for the subdivision, one was for the conditional use permit. I think sometimes in some of these hearings, maybe it gets a little crossed over and they're trying to place subdivision requirements on the conditional use permit requirement. For example, I believe that the boundary line agreements, that a lot of surveys that need to be taking place for the subdivision sometimes have been somewhat impeding maybe the conditional use permit. And I believe there are maybe two separate items where those would tie into the subdivision application and not the conditional use permit. The recent request was for the town of Daniels for us to provide more information on the sound study. I believe we have provided that information. Also, there's a little bit more information that was requested about the traffic and where the traffic routes. Geneva Rock will be responsible to make sure that we teach and train not just Geneva Rock employees coming and going, but also third-party contractors. That's something we are committed to do. We did just receive a letter from Jones and DeMille from the 1st of May that was what they kind of analyzed some of the conditional permit. I wish we would have received the letter maybe a little bit earlier than 10 minutes ago. But I can address some of these concerns on here if you guys would like. I'm wondering what questions you guys may have. For example, some of this letter talks about the subdivision or building permits. And with regards to the conditional use permit, we're just seeking for approval so that we can proceed and obtain the building permit. It would then fulfill a lot of the requirements that they're asking for as far as electric, septic, water, fire, a lot of those other items, which traditionally, that's not included in the conditional use permit. We want to make sure that we can operate the batch plant here and then put the further resources into designing a full build-out plan to address all those concerns. And Jones and Mills' letter identifies the pushes of the subdivision and conditional use permit.
These are the new engineers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as far as your subdivision or the combining of those two lots, I think it was pretty clear. I don't think we crossed over those. I think we granted that pretty easy and wasn't much of an issue with that. I think the hang-up strictly been the conditional use, and that's kind of my recollection over. And I share some of your frustration in how that process with the conditional use is going, but. I got to disagree with you on how those have been maybe cross-contaminating each other. I think the subdivision is cut and dried and done if you've met all those conditions.
appreciate that.
So sound and traffic are my two question marks still, and I apologize, I missed a few of the prior discussions. What is the traffic plan?
So the traffic plan, so we had agreed to associate with an analysis to make sure that the traffic could, the trucks that we're using fit on the road with the turn radius. They will go on Airport Road, you know, go north and then go east, and they would not go south off the Airport Road.
Okay. Have you obtained the easement right away for doing that yet? There's an issue with that early on.
We have the access to come across, but we're still working on the access to tie into the Airport Road.
Okay.
That's correct.
Part of the frustration, I think, with this whole process, one of the main things has been the noise. Right, and there's been some conflicting reports on your current neighbor that's out there, whether they've done you any favors or not. I don't live out there, so.
Sure.
But, and that's kind of hitting a moving target at this point, because we're trying to develop and mitigate sound.
Yes.
And that's a frustration to you, because we, as far as what we're asking you to do, in my opinion, is still pretty vague.
Okay.
Do you guys have any thoughts on mitigating it? I don't know what our standard really is, other than if we adopt the current county requirements. If we say you've got to have a 50 decibels or less at every neighboring boundary, and who's going to pay for and conduct that sound study. You've got to have an engineer ahead of time that says, you know, you submit to your engineer, this is the plant we want to build and this is the equipment we're going to run. I think there's people out there who know that equipment and do this, you know, professionally, and say, yes, this is what you need to do in order to maintain the 50 decibel perimeter.
You presumably have a similar batch plant somewhere else, size, scale, scope-wise? That could serve, I would assume, as a sound study sample?
Not necessarily, because your elevations and your atmosphere stuff and surrounding buildings and all of that affect.
The airplane's taking off.
Right.
If that concrete batch plant neighbor fires up at the right time, there's just a lot of.
You get sound from this one and sound from that one, and the waves combine, you increase your wave, and it's going to travel more.
Right.
So there's a lot of factors that an engineer, besides me, has to be able to determine. So, I haven't had time, unfortunately, to look at what the sound ordinance is for the county or the state. Have any of you looked into that?
It's 50 decibels, as I understand it. I don't know how it's measured or from what point it's measured.
Well, it'll be measured from the
the
boundaries.
County is a 50 decibel that 1627.35. That's the Wasatch County Code regarding.
And that's the 50 decibel thing.
That's correct. At the property line. DBA. Got to put the A in. DB doesn't mean anything, so we found that out.
Okay. So I guess my concern is that you have an engineer that says this is what you need to do to reach that, and then they build it, and then they come back and it's 120 decibels at this boundary and 80 over here, and it doesn't meet it, so then you've got mitigation to have to do, right?
Correct.
And if we can work through those things, then I'm good to move forward with it.
I have a suggestion. Let's go through everything but sound, because that seems to be the one, and let's see if we have everything. Anything else that we have to work through, and at least then we know what's still on the table and where we're at. So, if you look through the handout, We have this Geneva Rock CDP offer, which is pretty good. CMCs has added some things. So if we could go through that item by item and either say yay or nay so that we know, I mean, not a formal vote, but just an indication that we're okay. So height restrictions we've talked about for the silos will not be more than 75 feet high and no other buildings will be 50 feet. Operational conditions, I would like to change this sentence here. It says preloading operations shall only occur when temperatures are above freezing. And I'd like to say preloading operations shall occur when temperatures are above freezing.
Online. We don't have that document.
You don't have that? Okay. Well, I'm going to have to ask for this again. I'm sorry, I thought you had it.
I've got it right here, so I can share with the company.
Do you have a version of right here that helps?
You don't mind, yeah, thank you.
And here's another copy.
Anyway, that change is...
It was in your email, by the way.
It is?
Right here.
So this is clarification. Commissioner Horner, this letter from Jones and DeMille, you requested that we send it to our engineer. This is their review of that letter back to you as a planning commission. With the item that they had, that's what our engineer...
This is from our engineer.
Correct. Yeah. You requested that we send that to them.
This is their...
Okay, and they did not comment on most of these items. Probably the ones that were more concerned with, so it should have been that.
Okay.
So that was one change. Are you okay with this? That doesn't...
Yeah, it's doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's just, I think, it's a little clear.
Yeah, well,
okay.
That sounds correct.
Okay, backing up shall be minimized as much as possible to reduce noise from alarms.
How are you gonna?
That's a good one.
Right.
Yeah, you still have to back up.
Yeah. So, and in the document talks about how there's a loop in there, so it helps create the traffic loop, so that it minimizes.
Well, they want to do that anyway because of safety.
Correct. And efficiency. Yeah.
And white noise style backup alarms still be used. And non-essential fixed lighting shall not be used. Central lighting shall be directed north and or down, whenever possible. And then we've got a 15-foot high berm and privacy fence combination shall be constructed for noise and visual
that
mitigation.
Needs to be and that as one we per, need to. As per engineer.
Yeah, well,
engineer,
so. That's the one we're still. And then the berm shall be landscaped and maintained free of noxious weeds. Okay, then the dust control plan to comply with Utah Department of Environmental Quality.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have your mitigation plan and then your traffic routing compliance based on those hall bounds that were submitted.
What does landscape look like for the CMC?
Pretty sad.
Just some Charlie Brown Christmas trees, but.
How big is that berm?
It probably isn't.
Do you know, Eric, how big?
It's less than 6 feet.
It's about 20.
Yeah.
And we're asking for 15 on
it. So it's a combination between the fence and the berm. This is something for reference, an image for reference that we have provided, just to kind of give you an idea. That's not the exact design, but I mean, that's something similar.
That's something I hadn't heard about on this, is the fence.
Yeah.
Is that something that we're looking at?
I think they want that for security.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, if you're doing
it depends on the type of fence it is.
If you're doing a berm, and like, say, we're passing 15 feet from this guy, but CMC's only got a 4-foot berm, and their trees don't cover shit, so... But my question is why are they not using fences to mitigate noise? Like, if
if they put us a conditional use on C and C, I wasn't involved in this back then, so this is all new to me.
So we're learning.
If it's Charlie Brown trees, a definite fence blocks view and allows.
Trees don't really block sound.
And if it's not done by a licensed landscaper, then we don't have no guarantee that sprinkler system's gonna work consistently, trees are gonna stay alive. You know, I think that's crucial.
So initially, we were looking at seriously serious conditional use permit by CMC and talking about trees. And then we did the sound analysis, we hired fire engineering, and they suggested the fence would look a lot better than the trees on top of the berm. And then, you know, this fence, if we try to get the fence to take the height of any equipment that's making noise, and that's what 15 feet is. So it's not just a visual, but it also helps reflect the sound.
We're talking about like a highway type fence, sound barrier fence?
Yeah, it would be a solid fence, not a chain link fence, right?
Sorry, how tall would it be?
So it'll be a combination between the berm and the fence. It'll be a total of 15 feet. So if we do an eight.
So you're going to put the fence on top of the berm?
That is correct, yeah, similar to.
Which will make sure that you've got a compacted berm this time, too.
Yeah.
One of the neighbors is concerned about rocks rolling down on his field, so.
Right, we'll make sure that the berm.
If it's like this berm, it won't happen.
Right, and an angle of repose, so, you know. And then ideally, the xeriscape with rocks or something rather than grass.
Can we make comments as you guys are doing this, or do you want us to come up afterwards?
We got to open this up.
No, we're not having a public hearing. We can.
You're the chair, dude.
I know. I'm making sure you guys get a chance to ask any questions.
But you said a solid fence?
That is correct.
As opposed to a chain link fence?
That is correct.
What exactly is a solid fence?
So it's like a solid plastic fence, like a solid vinyl fence.
Vinyl fence?
Yes. Probably. Fine. Well, I don't know. You probably don't know either. If you're not a sound engineer.
Right.
Vinyl versus sound, like a concrete wall.
You're right. So according to the sound analysis performed by Barr, they suggested that the solid or the vinyl fence would be adequate for this scenario. Now, if it was a concrete, you know, 6-inch concrete wall, yes, that would be different than a vinyl fence, but I'm not sure what the differences would be.
Okay. Do you have any other questions? Okay, I think we have a lot of public here, and this is not a public hearing today, but I think we'll accept comments or maybe until about quarter two.
Chairman, Commissioners, appreciate it.
So, anyone would like to?
So keep this quick. I just want to say that we're proponents of the plant. It's a good thing for town. It needs to be done. But Delaney and I went around and we got like 52 signatures from all the people that live in this area, because, you know, unfortunately none of you guys live out there, so you don't have the experience.
We tried to make a visual of
you do.
So something everybody could see.
Oh, you do, Kip, yeah.
So does Gary.
Scott wears earplugs at night because of the current plan.
I wear earplugs because my wife snores.
His talk.
So you don't hear them, see? But we're really a big proponent of doing a real sound study. This Barr Associates, it was not a sound analysis. It was some engineer's opinion, but nothing was really done proper. So, I mean, a good sound study will mitigate this, and it'll actually help you guys, because every year your CUP is going to come up for renewal. Right now, the other batch plant CUP is up for renewal. So that conditions that are on there now are going to change. And their berms probably end up bigger. They're going to have better trees because we learned from the first time. So I think doing it right the first time is a good thing for everybody, especially all the neighbors. We, you know, every one of these people have talked about it. We got their signatures. So I think two things. I mean, a good sound study, make sure it's done right the first time. You know, the 50 dB is what I've learned about. I paid that ME Associates to come out and analyze like how you would do a sound study, because they can actually model one before the plant comes, and they can base it off of 3D modeling. These guys are actually in Provo. They used to be in California, just moved up here.
Do you guys have a copy of that?
Yeah, and yeah. I can share it with you guys too. They can do a sound study so that you guys are in compliance and you don't have any aggravation down the road, and you don't come back for next year and have to change your whole berm and do something different. You know, and the other thing I would ask is, you know, this really doesn't fit in our town, white rocks and scattered trees. I mean, if we're going to do a berm, it should look like a mountainside. You know, so I think it should be done with a professional landscape architect, kind of like Stater Park is down there. It's, you don't really notice the plants there. You don't really notice that it's different. You know, people are, there's a whole bunch of houses that back up to this. So, I mean, doing it with dark rock or no rock and just doing lots of trees and just massing it with pine trees so it looks like a mountainside, that nobody sees you, nobody hears you, everybody lives together. And then there's no requirements. I mean, if you do a sound study, you can work 24/7, you know, because you know what you have to comply with, you know, so then we're not coming back at next year at your CPA and complaining the plan. And that's really my big thing. So I think a sound study should be done, should be brought back to planning to review and sign prior to construction. It can be a condition that you guys get now. And I think the other condition should be is a professional landscape designer design this and then come back to planning and make sure it meets our criteria so that when you guys build it, it's right. And that all can be prior to construction. It doesn't have to be, you know, holding up your CUP and holding up the rest of the process. So that's, as neighbors, that's what we all ask. I don't want to take up any more time. Billy, do you have anything?
No. I mean, it's just for us mostly in all of these surrounding properties, it's just a straight shot to the south. It's just the rattling of the bucket 24/7, the beepers 24/7. So we're not opposing it, just trying to mitigate it from the beginning, go into the white noise backup, like the Amazon vans use, things like that, that we can live there and again, not be back here next year or next week or next month or whatever it is. Like, let's do it right from the beginning and then we can move forward, hopefully.
Yeah, and I went through all the other conditions. I think everything else is fine. I mean, it wasn't anything. It's really the noise and the landscaping of the berm. You know, make it look like a mountain. Not, you know, we're in the mountain town. You know,
so. Not in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. It's a good example. Yeah, right?
I have these specifics on things for that important, right? I mean, the fence just came up. I've done a fair amount of vinyl, and it doesn't do well up here.
Yeah. So my question would be, what kind of fence? Let's just be specific.
The concrete business, maybe.
Well, that's why I asked my question,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A vinyl fence just doesn't
really
up.
Do it until the wind
somebody's
blows it.
Somebody's cow gets
canvas.
Out, the fence
well,
is going
to thing for you guys, put the concrete stackable box up there. You know, just put them up there, stack them all the way down, and plant pine trees in front of them. We don't see them. Done. You know, that's
specific.
Do you guys live around this area here?
We all live just directly south.
So here's the existing.
They're right by Gravel Pit Road.
So here's the existing CMC plant.
West of Gravel Pit Road.
Here's the new Geneva plants right here.
Okay.
Every one of these dots is somebody that signed this petition that I'll give you guys, and we all hear it and live around it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And we're all the closest people up to 3,000 south. And, you know, I've got some people on Big Hollow stuff that signed and had issues with it. And then the other plant is back in here currently, which is, you know,
American Eagle.
Okay. And actually, this is a benefit for us, but Geneva is building in front of it. So there's people over here. So they only sold their berm here. So berm really needs to come down like this to protect these residential people over here. Right. So the berm should come around the corner. And then what that does, it actually protects even us better because this other plant that's on Heber side is behind all this too, so it's a win-win for us. You know, so these guys building here is actually a good thing for us because we end up, if they do the berm and the sound control, it helps mitigate the other plant too. Although, I mean, I think Joe lives right next to that, and he says that one actually is not an issue. This is a big issue.
Where does Joe live?
Joe lives right here. right there. And he's here, he was here, right there. I'll let him speak, so I don't take up too much time. So, this is the signature that we gathered, and over there. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I want your clipboard back. But there was 52 people that signed in those areas.
Okay. Anyone else? Looks like Jack's coming up. Comment here.
This isn't Declo.
Just a little bit.
I think Daniel was really blessed to have these folks live here, have moved here. I don't know why they moved here personally, but I do think that they're a real blessing to our community and the time into this. And I mean, and they've thought about it. Done a good job. This, if we could not have a batch plan, another one, I think that's the best thing. Well, Daniel really does need the money. You could just drive down Big Hollow Road one time and you can bust a tire on one of those potholes there. You're lucky. So the point I want to make is that I think it is really important that we have a real sound study and go and search on Geneva, and they are for the most part really good members. So they go, Draper's a little upset with them, but other than that, they don't have.
That's a lose-lose. Yes.
And so I think that's really a good thing that they're the ones that might be building this. But I don't think they should be the ones who are paid or authorizing the study or doing the sound study. That's a little bit like the dog or the wolf being in charge of the chickens, okay? That there's just conflict there. And later on, we if it isn't right, we are really going to feel it. And you'll agree. And you know, a backing up signal on a big truck is not going to show up as being too many decibels. But on a cold morning, I can hear it clear over at my house and I'm over a mile away. So those things have to, and I don't like the language of as much as possible, don't back up any more than you need to. What a bunch of baloney that is, really, personally. I mean, there's no control over that at all. There needs to be something in there that can get rid of those things. During the day, it's not nearly as bad. Morning and evening, it comes across. So my feeling is, let's really do this right. There's a lot of money involved. You need to can afford it. So let's just do it right. Make the wall right, and make sure that study's done right. That's all I got to say. Chip, or I mean, Kip.
Chip.
I was looking at you, though.
That's all right. I still love
you. Anything I left out that you wanted me to say?
maybe the witch's broom.
Okay, we've got about two more minutes.
Okay, so again, I live right here. So if I walked out my back door, I would hit this. To me, I don't get it. I don't get it. I've been to plenty of these meetings. The agrarian lifestyle, the RA5, that's what everything, I mean, there's been so many discussions about that. It's like, we're taking a field, and we're turning it into a batch plant. When people are talking about the money, so I was in the meetings with CMC, as a layperson who lives in the town of Daniel, who hasn't gone through the books, I personally can't see one improved thing that the money, the revenue from the CMC plant has given the town of Daniel. I would like to know one thing that you can say, hey, as a person who hasn't gone through the books, has there been one pothole filled, one shoulder that's been, one, et cetera? It's like, we're saying we need the money. It's like, I don't even think we were getting the money from the CMC plant and the revenue from that. We don't have the staff to field complaints from these. It makes sense when you have somebody that's close to a highway and it's like, listen, down there by the transfer station, and it's like, listen, is that commercial, you know, some of those things. It's like, yeah, you've got roads on three sides. And it's like, we're taking a field, we're making it a batch plant, and we're saying we're doing that for money? For money? Serious? Like, we're taking what is great, is supposed to be the best thing for the town of Daniel, which is the A in RA5, and we're plowing under a field, it's like, to me, I don't like it at all. I don't like any part of it. And then the fact where it's like, again, American Eagle right here, I've never, ever heard them. These guys have trashed the whole town up. And it's like, well, you know, Geneva's the biggest. They're the best. They've got the most. They're going to do whatever. If it moved forward, I have no idea why this couldn't be sunk in the ground. I know that 30 years ago, when Geneva got their plant approved over at Richardson Flats, it had to be, you know, down, lower. The topography on that kind of helped out a little bit. Staker Parsons in Charleston, they sunk that in the ground. I remember the study, they came back and they said, hey, how do you guys feel about the asphalt plant? There was an actual asphalt plant in there, and the neighbor's like, where's it at? It's like, they couldn't tell where it was because it was in the ground. Like, it was sunk down. You don't have to build berms if you dig it down. So to me, it's like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, it doesn't make sense to me at all. The one way to get away from all of these sound studies and all this stuff is basically say, hey, look, put hours of operation. It's like, oh, is that going to hurt because they can't batch at 4 o'clock in the morning for some 400-yard port? It's like, use your other batch plants for that. Like, start work at 8 o'clock in the morning, end at 5:30 at night. There's no sound study needed if that's the conditions of the conditional use permit. There's no staff that needs to come back and do that. It's like, yeah, put that as the condition to where it's like, start work at 8 o'clock in the morning versus 3, 4, or 5 o'clock. I'd like to have a buzzer in any of all y'all's bedroom and or Geneva and or the Clyde family, any of those people, and say, hey, when I hear the asphalt plant, can I just push this buzzer and it runs a little speaker? It runs a little speaker in your bedroom too? Where it's like, these were fields, this was RA5. I don't know why we're doing industrial out there.
Probably because it's zoned that way. It's been zoned that way since the town was
formed. It is an industrial park.
Otherwise, no one probably would consider it. Okay, any good thoughts from the group?
What are your thoughts on the sound study approach? Might as well further this discussion now instead of next month.
So as far as the sound study, I have heard about the beeping type alarms. You know, I just want to make sure everyone is aware that we are using the other style, right?
They don't beep, they growl.
Yeah, it's like a growling type backup alarm. And, you know, we do reduce everything, but, you know, the loader, it's loading from an aggregate pile, and that loader does have to back up. So we can't eliminate that one. But as far as the truck traffic, yes, we can do everything we can to reduce any backup alarms on the truck traffic. As far as the sound analysis that was performed, and as far as the vegetation buffer, I mean, we can put a condition that the berm, the vegetation on the berm will be approved by the town of Daniels. So we do submit a berm and vegetation plan that you guys approve. Now, as far as the fence versus concrete block, yeah, in my mind, I thought the fence looked a little nicer than concrete block up there. But if you guys want concrete block, we'd gladly put concrete block there, if that would make a difference.
I agree that
bigger with palm trees, though you don't see the concrete.
Yeah, bigger the better. And to your point on landscaping, I think needs to be far more specific requirements than we propose with CMC.
I mean, so what we could do is we can put in there that, when we talk about the landscape berm will be approved by the town of Daniels.
So what about a sound study on a preliminary basis? I don't know much about this technology or how proven the outfit he's mentioned is. But
it's very subjective to when you perform the sound study as to what noise are picked up in it. We already did the preliminary analysis that talked about how loud the equipment will be there, how the wall will reduce it, and how the distance will reduce it. In that analysis, it stated that the proposed sound would be 28 to 38 decibels to the closest house, which is far below that 50. in my mind, I'm not sure what else that sound study, what benefit that would provide, besides delaying this out a little bit longer.
Is that in our cards, Eric?
What's that?
Is that something that's potentially in our cards to do?
What's that?
To the previous comments made, maybe not the best source of a sound study from those trying to develop.
Well, I think you do have the applicant do it, because it's quite substantial, that study. It'll be
cost-wise.
Yeah.
Well, it's on this study here. It's $15,000 to $20,000. So on building this, it's not big dollars. Now, what they have to do might be big dollars, but then it mitigates the problem.
In case they say $15,000 to $20,000, I'm not sure. I mean, where that number came from. We have been involved with some other ones that are twice that.
Yeah, these guys just moved to Provo, and they're actually because the company. You guys can have those copies going. They,
I mean, it all depends on the design, right? It all depends on everything that goes into it.
But I think what Mr. Pavoldi has said is that apparently you've talked with them, and they can take what your proposed batch plant is and 3D model that, put that in their system, and say, this is what happens. This is how you have to mitigate it.
I could see that. I mean, we do engineering studies for a lot of different things.
Right.
For air dispersion modeling, for traffic. So I imagine that is possibly.
And I think it's probably information that you can use for another plant, and another plant, and another plant. It's not probably a one-and-done type of expense, but...
It'd give you a roundabout way, right? Every plant's a little bit different.
Right.
It would give you a generic idea, for sure.
And it doesn't have to hold up your project. It could be prior to construction, right? So you're going to be another 4 months doing plans and permits, 5 months. And this study could probably
be under proposing that they approve the conditional use permit on that a sound study will be performed and will adhere to the sound study requirements. Is that what you're asking?
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying needs to happen, right? I don't think you want all these neighbors coming to town meetings bitching about noise.
I agree. And, I appreciate the energy. I appreciate the emotion. No, it's good.
Well, that's not emotion. That's just what's going to happen.
It is.
Well, they're not going to come and talk to you. They're going to come and rip your head off. Listen to what's going on with CMC, right? And so, and frankly, some people that have been here are complaining, not necessarily tonight, but when I talk to them on the street, it's a different story.
I can understand that. And
so,
we do want to create a good working environment for the employees and for the town of Daniels, absolutely. So if you would like, I am open to putting that as a condition, and we approve it and move on.
Okay, would someone like to make a motion?
Can I ask you something? How come you guys can't make that gravel pit that Lake Allen along 189, make them put something so that all the dust doesn't come over to Daniels and then go all over him? In Daniels. Sorry, I swear.
No, you're not.
Well, that's true. But I'm sick of it. I mean, every time you walk out of Walmart, there's a whole freaking mess from there, and it just goes right over to Daniels. And, I mean, a berm would be wonderful, but who are you going to make berm?
What you have to do is call air quality control. And the more of us call air quality control, they'll make sure they use water and keep it contained on the property.
Can you also tell them that they just let the guys from the other cement plant go up the hill, so all of their dirt is coming right by Charleston Cemetery, and it's coming down to Daniels too.
This is from our
engineer.
It's not you guys.
I would say that we condition you based on this.
I'm going to call you and say,
I'll call for it.
Okay.
But I think the more people that call, the same thing is absolutely
in the follow-up.
the construction and regulations made appropriately.
But it has to be a lot.
Are we ready to do something, or?
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I don't know, but you might want to tape record it so I keep track.
So we down the access. We discussed that.
So I would.
Just a second.
Go ahead. What's
Eric?
I was just. I haven't heard of the access.
That's going to be part of the.
Okay. All right. We just didn't discuss that, so I was just curious.
Okay.
There's nothing to discuss, correct?
They've got to buy the property and get the access before they can.
We're still working through the access.
So all of this is for naught if they can't
get access.
Get access. So that's the.
It's one of the conditions.
Yeah. So I would. What am I making? Recommendation?
A motion.
Motion. I'll make a motion that we approve the conditional use for Geneva Rock Batch Plant subdivision. Based on the conditions being addressed in the Jones and DeMille Engineering letter. And in those, it also addresses the traffic, the egress, the traffic flow. All of those things need to be approved prior to construction. Also a condition that sound study be conducted prior to construction that models the plant that will be constructed and the equipment that will be used on site, and that appropriate landscaping be pre-approved with a professional landscaper performing that work, and that needs to be approved by the town of Daniel. And then following construction, a follow-up sound study to make sure that the pre-modeling has been appropriately mitigated and that follow-up mitigation be done should a follow-up study find holes in those issues.
Okay.
Can I leave out that we're concerned about?
Which document you were talking about as you're saying the conditional use permit?
What do you know?
The May 6th response from Jones and DeMille.
Right, but that doesn't list all of these. So we have this offer.
Yes.
Is this the document you're talking about? Okay, that's my one.
The conditions that we talked about.
We talked about in the meeting tonight, which is the.
And that's in addition to the.
Right,
questions.
This is the basic document that you're. Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to be sure
and
that.
And the star that we've made on the noise is mitigated by a preliminary sound study and a follow-up to make sure that there's not holes in what the requirement is.
I think that
it's been verified. Yeah. We verify that we've done that appropriately.
Yes. You want Geneva Rock to perform that?
Yes.
We'll hire a third-party contractor.
Right.
To do that.
Yeah.
You still want Geneva
And I think maybe we need to be involved in and approve that contractor.
Who performs the work?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Is there a second?
Second.
You have it down there here.
Who made the second?
Taylor.
Thank you.
Eber.
Okay.
Again, yes.
You want to do discussion, Gary?
Yeah, we could. Is there any discussion?
Do you understand the documents being referenced?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. So I just have a quick clarification. This says access, and you in your motion does not specify not 3,000 south.
We've discussed the appropriate ingress, egress, and traffic flow in my motion.
Motion.
They should provide.
And those are in the document that where they don't use Daniel Road heading south.
or 3,000 south.
Okay.
And they've already stated that in their documents.
Okay.
They're going up there.
They've already stated that this is where we're trying to buy the access to.
All right. As long as your conditions and you're satisfied with that.
They never gave you a map.
Yeah, I'm still confused.
Because they're still working on purchasing it.
No, but this was supposed to be the traffic pattern. There was nothing proposed or something. You know, they know 99%.
We did see one. They have.
They held it up. They didn't submit it to the engineer.
And here's another one. I mean, we have circulated.
They have submitted it to us in the past.
Never in this document.
In the
just
last
in here, they
prior meetings,
they showed it to me, but they never submitted
I've
it.
I've seen it here.
Okay.
What they're proposing to purchase and all of that, we've seen.
Are we ready to vote?
I'm ready. I think so.
Call for the vote.
McGinn, yes.
Bangeter, yes.
Forner, yes.
Taylor, yes. Okay, motion carries. Let's move to item number 5.
Thank you.
Which is the Mango Bay commit for a single family dwelling at 984 West Valley View Road. So that's right next to Schinderlings.
That's us.
It's down by me.
Okay.
It still doesn't help. I don't know where you live.
The log house.
You go down 12.
He may not want to build here after what they purchased. All of our newcomers are right here, so, you know. Might want to consult with them.
Okay, so we've got a plot plan, which is the main thing.
There's one
you'll see there.
They're on the corner. This one? Yeah.
Do you have anything on this, Eric?
Yes. So we have the application that was sent in, and Jones and DeMille got back their review today. And so I'll just hand you out a copy of that letter. From Jones and DeMille.
That's going to mess up Schindler's head operation.
So that's supplemental to what's in your packet?
Okay, I had one question. It's showing contour lines on this plot plan. Is that a hill or a hole? It looks like behind the house, or maybe I'm just reading this wrong.
Oh, on the site plan?
Yeah. It's right here.
So yeah, we're planning on digging out and having a walkout basement. So this will
okay.
Slope down.
So it's sloping down. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like basic feedback from them, Eric.
What's that?
There's no call outs here. This all just looks like basic feedback from Jones and DeMille.
Yeah, these are the plans that were submitted. And then that letter was what came back from Jones and DeMille. They just finished the site plan and engineering specs.
Okay, any of you have any questions?
motion. So they've got to do this stuff anyway.
Yeah, but we can go ahead and approve it.
With these conditions.
With those conditions, and then we're not holding them up.
I'll make a motion. We approve the Mangum Welling, excuse me, I don't mean to pronounce that wrong.
Whaley. Whale with a Y on the end.
Whaley. Permit application for the single family dwelling for their construction with conditions of the Jones and Demere engineering requests.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, call for vote.
McGinn, yes.
Banger, yes.
Warner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
I know a good contractor in the room if you need one. He didn't hear me.
He's still mad.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We're back.
Been missing for a year.
Yeah.
They're back.
A year. 8 years. You want to get real specific?
Do you have anything?
Sorry. Yeah, same document.
Okay.
They're hot off the press today, so.
Yeah.
Some of these items have been completed. But if your motion includes that, that will be.
Procedural. This is a valid lot, too. Is this a valid 5 acre lot?
Yes, sir. Six.
Six. Okay.
6.2.
Can I buy a couple tents from you?
No, not today.
No.
We'll see how this goes.
It's a hard no.
I'm still trying to get that 2 tenths to 6.
The day tenths
of
one.
Yeah.
It's cost me a lot. So they've submitted their plans. Fire, if you have fire, water, and sewer letters back. So all those have been approved, and we just were waiting for structural, and that's what that letter is regarding that you have from Jones and Demere.
I sent that in today.
Yes.
So we have full structural as well.
Yeah, I have the structural in my inbox with the stamp.
I have it here as well. It needs to be seen here.
Okay, does anyone have any questions?
What's this so long?
There's so many reasons it can take so long.
I can count.
Yep.
So we appreciate everything you guys have done.
Okay. Ready for a motion? Someone would like to make one?
You got it, kid.
I did the last one.
I'm motioning it out on
All right, I'll motion to approve the Gressman building permit application contingent upon satisfying the Jones and DeMille engineering follow-ups.
Second.
Okay. Call for vote.
McGinn, yes.
Sanger, yes.
Horner, yes.
Taylor, yes. Okay, well, carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome to the
club. He's the hard part, right?
Thank you.
Down the road. Okay, we have a new business license.
Good
Yeah, so our company, Homes, we design, engineer, and develop engineered homes that are partly built off-site and partly built on-site. The objective is to, the objective of the operation that we have in Daniel is that we'll build our model factory, our model mining factory, and we will replicate that model in other states across the United States as well. The homes that we build, there will be different models. They will be of premium quality. They are designed to last at least 100 years. Excellent efficiencies. We started about a year ago. We will build our first 6 homes in Midway. And the objective going forward is that we will use the site in Daniel as a training center for factories that we develop in other parts of the country. And we will continue to do our own development, developing projects in the region to further develop our homes and projects.
More science.
Currently employ about 6 people. Objective is by the end of the year we'll be down to 12. Half will be in the operations, and half will be observers, resident architects, engineers, service people, support people for support for support.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
Where is this located? It's on the Highway 40, 3500 South.
Is this in Tunnels?
Tunnels building? Yeah. We have the back half of Tunnels building. We're all happy to come by if you want to see the person.
That'd be cool.
Will this all be done inside, or will this be done outside?
Inside.
It'll all be done inside, so there won't be any construction, fabrication, parking, or anything like that.
There'll be stores outside of the finished products, but on our work.
Okay. Call for motion.
Any discussion?
Well, you just said there'll be storage of finished products outside?
Yeah, we make wall elements, and behind the factory, we will have wall elements ready to go to construction.
So storage-wise, what's our codes and requirements, neighboring stuff? Because you're going to have forklifts, you're going to have sound picking those up, trucks coming in and out, which is fine, but it's in a commercial area, but there is neighbors behind there pretty dang close.
You don't expect to be doing any of that moving outside business hours, do you?
No.
Middle of the night?
No.
7 to 6 in the morning? Backup
alarm. And
a forklift has backup
alarm.
They do.
I don't think I'm.
Just need to be white noise, but they got in trouble.
I can't
browse
on the record.
I guess that's my only question is what's the length of time that they're storing? I mean, how big is this if you're prefab in a house?
No, but it's we cannot make them too big because otherwise we cannot transport them. So they're not higher than 11 foot and not taller than 16. So.
But you got 20 of them out there.
No, we won't build that much because, I said, our factory that we have will be our model micro factory and will be mainly trading center. And I think the maximum homes that we're going to build out of that facility is probably 5 homes a year.
So it will be stored outside until the house is done. It'll be moved in another one. It'll start.
Yeah, correct.
And that's kind of shipped out. Is that shipped out kind of time-based, or is it all at once?
Time-based.
It is time-based. Yeah. So as you complete it, it's picked out, moved out.
It's
not going to sit there.
No, because there's not much space there.
That's what I thought. You'd take them pretty quick and get rid of them. Apparently, it's quick.
Weather will destroy anyway.
What are your business hours?
9 to 5, 8 to 6.
Someone ready to make a motion?
Heber is.
I'll make a motion.
There we go.
Yeah, you can get me on it. I'll make a motion that we approve this application, this business application, for recommendation. We make a recommendation that they approve this application for the homes building at 3500 South Highway 40, Unit G, Heber City, Utah.
I'll second that.
Okay, call for the vote.
McGinn, yes.
Sanger, yes.
Horner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Okay, motion carries.
I have one question for you. Where does your point of sale occur for these homes?
We are going to make like mobile homes in Midway, and we will develop our own project, so we finance it upfront ourselves. And
but that's what I'm saying, though. When I come in and want to buy a house from you, yeah, and you build my house, mm-hmm, where do I purchase that house from?
You purchase us from us.
At this location?
Or at a model home that we build elsewhere. Our radius will be like probably like 50 miles. So if you do a project in Salt Lake, then that still will happen. It's Salt Lake probably at the location where we build a model house.
Do you charge any sales tax?
Depends where it is.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Because if they come to this office to purchase your home, you sold them the home.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's gas or whether it's a prefab house or a whatever, you're buying it from somewhere.
Yeah, once they install it.
Yeah, we buy the plan for us, for ourselves, for our company, is to build finished homes,
yeah,
and then sell it. So it's wherever the home is being built.
Well, sales tax, yeah, watch, so pay where the bulk of materials,
right,
and you're, yeah, no sales tax.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're on item number 8, which is continued discussion regarding non-conforming lots in Danville. Council has decided to do a open house in August. There's not a date scheduled, as far as I know.
They have decided that it's called a town hall, not an open house. But there are two dates that they're looking at, either August 11th or August 18th, probably at the senior center. So when they determine that, I'll be sure and make sure.
Is that going to be big enough potentially?
Well, the senior center has that big auditorium, so.
A water meeting fills that up.
That, well, it can.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope we fill it up.
Yeah.
So anyway, they are responding to your request. That's the point. And as soon as they make a decision, I'll let you know.
I don't have anything else to discuss.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything?
What is that again, specifically?
The town hall to discuss.
What do the residents of the town want to do with all these 1 and 1.5 acre and 1/2 acre
non-conforming lots
that they want to build a house on, but they don't have lot of record, and so therefore it doesn't meet our code, therefore it can't be built on. And we've got several around the town. And so if you approve those, then you take the lid off of our R5. That's gone. Anybody can develop to whatever that smallest lot is, basically. So is that what our town wants, or do we want to just kind of dig in and stay where we're at? Can somebody come up with some better ideas? So that's what that is. What does our town want to do with all these, is my understanding.
And is there any discussion about that, about the non-conforming that have structures on them?
No. That's basically a done thing.
Yep.
The building was approved at some point.
I've never been able to figure out how that got the zoning, like, or how that.
Well, there's a lot of lots that really aren't separate parcels. Someone just deeded it back to themselves and divided it without going through the subdivision rules. And so, you know, we have a 5-acre minimum lot. Someone splits off an acre and deeds it to themselves. That's totally legal, but that doesn't create two separate buildable lots. It's still one lot. And so, from what I understand, state law basically says a real estate agent that sells one of those.
Which we have that one thing in question.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it seems to me, and I'm not saying I have a problem with it, but it seems like we're holding, as a town, tried and true on if you have an empty lot, you have to have a lot of record. But if you have a house on a lot that it wasn't a lot of record, all sins are forgiven.
Well, in theory, it was a lot of record because they got approval from the county to build on it.
That hasn't happened since Daniel was incorporated, that we're aware of.
No.
If there's a house on a lot somewhere, it was created with Wasatch County before we were a town. No,
it was given a building permit, but that doesn't mean it was still legally.
That's correct.
Lawfully.
But we have no control over that. If the county issued the building permit, they issued the building permit.
I don't think we can go require somebody to tear their house down.
Yeah. Nor do we want to
require them to get 5 acres.
Probably not at this point.
Yeah, that's kind of. Far-fetched.
But you guys came to that, your common sense, but you haven't been able to say, wait a minute, the lots that were split off when the county was, you know, maybe a little wild west, even though there was a process to use, the people didn't use it.
I was born when it was so wild.
Can I ask a question? Let me get this straight. What you're looking at doing is you want everybody in Daniels to own 5 acres.
That's what the town wants.
No, but what are you saying?
That's not accurate.
You're saying that the people that have 1 acre and a house on it, and they're not conforming, what you're saying is that they should be forced to buy 5 acres?
No, that's what the code is saying.
Well, what are you saying?
The code doesn't say
that at all. The code says that if a house was built prior, and it's grandfathered in, but I've heard you say that you want everybody in this town to abide by the 5-acre, the RA5.
No.
And we can't abide by that because we're grandfathered in. I just don't understand where you're getting at.
I'm saying the fact to where we've said this before, to where when someone pulls into town, okay, none of us live here. Some new person pulls into town, and they say, hey, look, I pull in here, and I look to my left, and this could be specific, but it also could be general. There's a 3-acre lot to my left, standing with a house on it. There's a 3-acre lot I'm standing on without a house, and a 3-acre lot with a house on it to my right. It just seems odd to me that you say that 3 acres can't be built on, but those 2 3-acres can. And they could have been because there's houses currently on them. It's like, well, how did that 3 acres get a house on it, and then one on the left did, the one on the right did?
Because the code didn't exist back then when those houses were put.
The code did exist for the most part.
It was counted.
But it's changed.
Yeah.
There were times when it was 1 acre that was required in areas. There are times when it was 2 acres. There's times when it's 3 acres. And if those lots were created according to the zoning that was in effect at the time, then they are a legal lot.
Or if they got a building permit, even if they weren't created legally.
But there shouldn't have been a
building permit issued for a parcel of property that is not a lot of record
not
that
true.
Conforms to. No,
not
it is true.
True.
You have to conform to the code with regard to the space in the code.
There,
and some of those didn't happen.
That is not true.
Well,
that's what should happen, but that's not what did happen.
Well,
and that ain't what's happening today.
All
proof of
that,
we know that the county issued a building permit.
Yeah.
At that point,
I just don't know how you, like, so what do you do with the pieces? What do the people do with the pieces that they have?
That's why we're going to have a meeting and have some town input.
How do we do it? We know that the county enacted subdivision law in 1964. So if it happened before 1964, probably okay, depending. If it happened later, we have county zoning maps. You can go to the county and see what the zoning maps were and say, this was subdivided on this date. Did it meet the requirements of the zoning? If it did, then you're probably okay. It still doesn't mean you're going to be able to build on it.
I understand all that. I'm saying there's proof that there are lots that didn't meet the zoning in Picketing, 1980. That we have proof that they didn't make a subdivision of that. But the only reason why you're saying, well, that was approved, that that's okay, is because there's a house on it.
There were other rules. Okay, in 1980, you could split a property into three lots. As long as the county planning commission approved it, if you went any more than that, you had to create a flat. If you took a 20-acre piece and split off 2 5-acre lots, you were done. And so there were a bunch of rules.
Right.
I think we need to move on.
Yeah, we will. But I'm just saying, and that's what we'll talk about, but as far as houses being there, the county issued the building permit. They had to determine that it was a log record when they issued it. I've heard lots of stories, too, about how that happened. I don't think that's the town's job to go back and figure that out.
Well, the thing is I live on 8 acres. Like, I'm coming back and saying, I just don't understand what happened with the 1, 2, 3 acre pieces in the town where it's like, they're what for the town?
And that's why we're going to have the town hall meeting.
Open space?
But your question's the same one as ours.
Yeah.
And we don't have the answer. So we're not going to give you an answer because we don't have one.
But we have examples where someone just deeded part of their property back to themselves and created a separate tax parcel, and then they've sold it.
Yeah.
And it's...
Yeah, no, I understand that.
So be thinking about those options and come to the town hall meeting.
May I ask a question about that?
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys be discussing non-conforming lots that do have structures on them? Just questions about that? Or it's just non-built on homes?
We can ask Eric what those... I mean, there are some different requirements because, I mean, you still have to meet requirements like, you know, you still have to have septic
structures
100 feet from a well. So if a neighbor has a well right next to the property line, your septic system's got to be 100 feet away. If your non-conforming lot's only 100 feet wide, you won't be able to build. So there's those kinds of issues. So
Sure. First
you can decide whether it's a conforming lot or not, but then do the conditions allow you to build on that lot based on the size and shape? Maybe not. So that's kind of what the discussion is. And it's not an easy discussion because there are about, you know, 1,000 different variables and things that are unclear, and the copies of the county code that I have from the time are really hard to read and have pencil lines stricken through them and other things. So should have fun, but anyway. Let's move on to the final report.
So while you're looking over that, I do have a handout here. And that was...
They have this one already.
Oh, do they have that?
They do.
Then I won't give it to you. It's already in your back. Any questions on that? On that too.
What are we looking at? Sorry.
So this is that ATCO has bought the house. name?
Scott Keel.
Scott
Jeremy Keel.
Keel. And they've approached us about building a office building with a garage hooked to it on that parcel. So it's one of those that's...
This is the one coming off of Daniel Road?
Right, the front half's RA5, back half's in the industrial zone.
Do they have access? Because you can't use residential to access.
Right. So we met with them, and I expect to see an application from them to change that zoning. But that's what, and we just wanted you aware that this is coming down the pike.
They want to change the zoning for the RA5? We've already turned that down.
We did under a different owner.
Actually, we didn't.
No, they withdrew.
They withdrew it before we did.
Yeah, that's right.
So they want to tear the house down and build a shop?
Yeah.
On the road?
Okay. Yeah, this is their preliminary plan. They just come and talk to us about doing that. So we just wanted you aware of that.
Yeah.
As these properties become more and more valuable, these are the pressures you're going to see.
Yeah.
Currently, our code allows the entire parcel, if it's a split zone.
Whatever we can do to box the Bassetts into an industrial pocket, let's do it.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You're getting too close to home.
I love that.
So if there's a split parcel, our code gives... The Planning Commission has the authority to say what the entire parcel is used as. So that falls upon you guys to decide that. So we just want you... Yeah, I just want you aware of that, because you will see more of these coming down the pike. As the pressure mounts.
But doesn't it make it so that the reason why we had the houses in the front so that they couldn't go on Daniels Road and run over people?
Well, no, not necessarily. People build along Daniels Road long before
I know
this stuff was an issue.
Stands to reason, yes.
Then there's one other item I just want to bring to your attention, and that is the Red Rock annexation with Heber City. So the Rock Yard, the Hicken Rock Yard, is in the process of being annexed into Heber City. As part of that annexation, the owner has offered to finish the sidewalk on the Daniel side, on the other side of the church, and on both sides of the church, and connect those to the existing sidewalk. So it'll actually be in the town of Daniel. And so we're talking to property owners to see how that's going to relate. I don't think it'll line up with the churches. I think it'll be an offset, but that has been offered to the town. So the mayor's working on that, talking to those property owners.
Okay, is that everything, Eric?
Yeah, any other questions on the report?
Eric, what constitutes too many animals?
To our code, it has a 3 per acre large animal.
It's two large animals per acre.
It's two.
Is it two?
I read
it. Two. This one's way beyond that. So we've had the 2 complaints. Most of you have probably seen the side, it's a double wide, that's pulled up on the old Blaine Smith property, mm-hmm. up at the corner of 3000 South. So that was one of the complaints we got. And the other one was over on Little Sweden and 12th East. There's an animal rescue being ran out of that.
It's not Little Sweden, though. It's on 650 or whatever, isn't it?
I was going to say, there's another one then, too. Are we talking about the same one?
The Lover? Yellow House?
650 yeah. East.
I know yeah. The Yellow House has over 30 horses.
That's the one we're talking about.
4 donkeys, okay. 5 sheep. I only counted 1,000 chickens because I think some of them were still in the house.
Could have been.
Front door's open. With
but you missed the front door.
The front door never closes. And the horses go up underneath the canopy, the back porch.
Right around the
on
that
corner. Road,
it's that little side road.
Follow the smell, you'll get there.
So we've had a complaint.
650 East off of 3000 South.
There's or off, little off a little Sweden.
It's between Little Sweden and 3000.
Yeah.
It's closer. Yeah, almost to Little Sweden. That's the second house in, right?
It's right next to...
I ride my bike by there. I know where it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Fred Fage is the owner of that house. So it's a rental, Fred Page.
It's a rental, okay.
It's a rental property, so.
Won't be on the news.
It was a rental property.
What, how many people are living up on the corner in Melrose? 3,000?
About 40.
That's what I, what's,
like, I mean, okay, so they have a shop that's a studio apartment out back, a little studio, and then they've got the garage, and then they've got the little house, and now they've got the new double wide out in the field.
We got about 5 houses.
8 to 10 cars.
Yeah. It's not put together. Do they still have the porta potty?
Yes.
Yeah.
Porta potty is still there.
And the travel trailer that's tucked behind there.
And the travel trailer, so we're talking like maybe 6 families?
It's a lot. What's, is that a health department thing?
Well, I don't know. We've got the complaint, so I'm substantiating the complaint.
Is that owned or rented? You know?
What?
Is that house being owned? Is it owned
it's
or rented?
It's an owner.
It is an owner?
Yeah, it's an owner.
You get the price.
But I'm not sure. It sounds like there's a lot more going on than what we have a complaint against.
There's more than one house like that in the town.
In the town?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're complaint driven, so if somebody's filled out a complaint, that's what we work on.
Just count the cars out in front of the houses.
That won't work. You know how many cars I got in my house?
I said in front, yours are in back.
That won't work.
I got rid of most of mine.
So you have complaints on?
Yeah, you moved.
You have complaints on both of those filed, or you do not?
What's that?
You do or don't have complaints?
I have complaints on.
Rich, what are you doing here?
Hanging out the back.
Okay.
This is when it makes it to the list. When I receive a written complaint,
okay,
and the council's directed me to go gather evidence, and then I take that evidence back to the council, and then they direct where we head from there.
Okay.
I've got stitches in my elbow from one of them, if that's evidence.
What?
Okay. Anything else, Eric?
No.
You helped her build that.
Okay, let's move to the next item, which is the minutes for April 16th. Does everyone have a chance to read those?
I have.
I have, and I haven't found anything. Have you?
No, pleased by the nomination of you, Gary, to continue as the chair, and Mr. Wild to be the vice chair.
Yeah, well,
thank you.
I haven't stricken these minutes, but it would be really good.
Yeah. I move that we approve the minutes of April 16th, 2025 Planning Commission.
Okay, is there a second?
You were here, Heber.
I was here. He's still reading, so let's give him a second.
I'll second it.
Okay, we're going to give Heber a hand. You good? Okay. Call for the vote.
McGinn abstain.
Fangman, yes.
Horner, yes. Taylor, yes.
Kerry?
Yeah.
Okay, move to item 11.
I'll make the motion. We adjourn.
I'll second it.
Fangman, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Horner, yes.
Yes, any meetings adjourned.